All right. Well, it's nice to see everyone in this session. I think, you know, it's kind of exciting as you attend OMS sessions to see how many people are in the audience. I've been to other sessions where they're not as well attended. So thanks very much for attending this session, everyone. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors on this paper, Greta Gramig and Samantha Hogstad. Samantha is a graduate student of Greta's. They're both at North Dakota State University. I was formerly at North Dakota State University, and after 26 years, they decided they'd had enough. So I'm now at Montana State University. Scenes like this are very common across the Great Plains. In the Northern Great Plains, where I'm located at, they're commonplace, and it's very typical anymore to see conventional farmers planting or seeding their crops into an undisturbed seedbed in the fall and in the spring. And if you look at the dominant tillage practice in western North Dakota and eastern Montana now, it's no-till or zero-till. And the reason really, what drives this is the need to conserve water. It's a semi-arid region, so any practice that conserves water is a practice that farmers would like to adopt. So organic farmers have long wanted to mimic their conventional peers and adopt no-till practices into their operations. And this, I think, the interest in no-till or zero-till is reflected. If you look at the literature over the last decade or so now, there's been quite a few papers published on organic zero-till or no-till, and in fact, many of the authors of those papers are sitting in this room. If you look, though, at the partial titles on the few papers I have listed here, I think it hints to the fact that when we talk about organic zero-till or no-till, it's a little bit different beast than when we talk about conventional zero-till. In conventional zero-till, tillage is eliminated across rotation. Really up to the present, when we talk about organic zero-till, we're talking about eliminating tillage during particular crop phases, but then tillage is used in other phases of that same rotation. So it's really a rotational zero-till system. What we attempted to do in North Dakota was to determine if we could practice zero-till continuously in an organic system, so eliminate tillage entirely from across a rotation. To do this, we felt our hypothesis was that weed management was going to be the major obstacle to a continuous zero-till system. So we looked around and tried to incorporate into our zero-till system, our continuous system, those practices which others had used to suppress weeds. A big one was the use of cover crops. Growing crops known for their large amounts of above-ground biomass, and then killing those cover crops with a roller crimper and using that killed mulch to suppress weeds on the soil surface. In addition, we incorporated sheep in our case as a weed control tool, placing the sheep on plots prior to planting and post-harvest of grain and seed crops to provide additional weed control, and judicious use of concentrated acetic acid vinegar as an additional weed control tool. So we did establish what we had hoped to be continuous zero-till plots in our long-term organic tillage systems, or LOTS study in southwestern North Dakota. That study included three different tillage systems: a clean or a conventional till system, a reduced till system, and then a zero-till system. And then across each of those three tillage systems, we put in place a five-year, what we hoped to be a crop rotation. This ended up being a crop sequence study. Year one, we had a hairy vetch cover crop, which we killed in the clean till plots using a disc, in the reduced till plots using an undercutter or a noble blade, and in the zero till plots using a roller crimper. And then following the termination of the cover crop, we planted winter wheat. We harvested the winter wheat in year two and then followed that with a cover crop cocktail or polyculture that was killed by fall frost. It does get cold in North Dakota. In year three, we planted a proso millet, harvested that for grain, and then followed that with a winter rye cover crop. in year four, terminated the rye cover crop, and then planted following that terminated cover crop navy bean, which we harvested for grain. And then in year five, planting spring field pea, harvesting that field pea in July, and then planting a hairy vetch cover crop following that that harvested pea crop in August. And then the idea was the rotation would continue. The crop phases and tillage systems were arranged in a randomized complete block as a 3x5 factorial. The data were analyzed using a mixed model utilizing SAS. The PDIF option was used to separate treatment means where the F-test indicated a significant difference at the P less than 0.05 level. Boy, they're going to let out on the recording. Okay, so this is image, and you know, I've presented this kind of a progress of this effort here before. This is kind of the end of the five-year sequence, but this gives you kind of an idea of how things looked at CT. That's for clean till or conventional till in 2012. The NT is zero till or no till also in 2012, so you can see how the plots compared in 2012. Now, I left North Dakota in January of this last year, so I wasn't present for this growing season, so I wasn't able to get any images of the no-till plots in 2016, but you can see how they looked in 2015, and I was told they looked very similar in 2016. But that is an image of the zero-till plots in 2016, and you can see they're not pretty. And the Canada thistle, as you can see, is... That's why I left. I mean, it's going to be tough. So let's take a quick look at data. I don't have a lot of data to present. I mean, we collected quite a bit, but I think these few data are going to tell the story. Okay, so this is winter wheat grain yield. And I've got 5 years listed here. Now, you need to remember that actually the zero-till treatments were set up in 2011 when we planted the hairy vetch cover crop. So, a very consistent trend where wheat grain yield was always significantly less in the zero-till plots versus the reduced or the no-till or the conventional till plots. As you look from left to right, year left to right, within any year, the height of the histograms represent yield for clean till, reduced till, and zero-till. And the thing to really note is year of 2014, that was 4 years after the zero-till treatments had been established, and you can see a real drop-off in wheat grain yield. Basically, by 2014, 4 years after the zero-till was established, zero-till yields were 80% or greater depending on the year, so a huge drop-off. Grain protein concentration of wheat. Again, by 2014, we began to find significantly lower grain protein concentrations in our zero-till plots versus the clean-till plots, and that occurred again in 2016, significantly lower grain protein concentrations in zero-till. Now, one challenge we've had in North Dakota, I actually think where I'm located now in Moxon is going to be actually less of a problem, but in southwest North Dakota, it typically gets cold. If you haven't been there, it gets cold. And oftentimes we have overwinters where we don't always get snow cover. So we've had problems with hairy vetch overwintering successfully, and in some years we'll get basically complete winter kill, and I think that's what these data indicate. You know, look at 2016, this past growing season. This was the amount of above-ground biomass produced by hairy vetch. I've only got up here the amount produced in the clean-till plots and the zero-till plots as you go from left to right in that year. But basically, there was no biomass produced. Why not? Because it all winter-killed. And that's happened in other years as well. I think the other thing to note, if you look at 2015, you know, that was a pretty good year relative to other years in terms of hairy vetch biomass production in this study. But if you look at the literature, John Tisdale and then others subsequent to that have suggested that you need somewhere between 7,000 kilograms per hectare or more of biomass to do an effective job of suppressing broadleaf annual weeds. And we came close in 2015, but we never quite hit that. And in other years, we were quite a bit less. What I don't have up here is the amount of weed biomass that we were producing in those plots. It was pretty impressive. Looking at pea grain yield, I hate to say it, but a similar story if you look at the zero-till pea grain yield plots versus the conventional till plots. Significantly less pea grain yield, certainly by the year 2014. Actually, as you can see, we were able to detect differences in 2013. So as we got this zero-till system in place, we began to start to see drop-offs in performance of the grain and seed crops we were growing, and it did have to do with weeds. I mean, we were growing a beautiful crop of annual weeds, and as the perennial weeds became established, there was nothing we could do to suppress those perennial weeds that had become established. So, I wish I had better news, but what we found in our continuous organic zero-till system, that wheat yields were reduced somewhere between 45 and 90%. And that higher percentage really kicked in at about year four. And that's where we started to see consistently lower wheat yields of 80% or more in the zero-till plots versus the clean-till plots. Pea grain yield reduction beginning in the second year. And again, by year four, we saw yield depression of percentages of 85 or greater. So Kathleen and others would tell me, and I could have told you this before you did this study, but, you know, at least we do, there may be other data out there, but we have done this in North Dakota. So we have been able to really document that continuous zero-till is not a viable strategy in organic systems presently, at least in the Great Plains, based on what we've observed. I think, you know, certainly on small scales where you can get out there and pull weeds manually, it can be practiced. But in large fields like those that occur on commercial farms in North Dakota and Montana, I just don't think it's an option. Perennial weeds will kill you if the annual weeds don't. And once they get established, there just is nothing that we've been able to find that you can do to eliminate those weeds. Now, again, I didn't emphasize this in our study, but the data is there, and certainly others have published the data. Rotational zero-till, or as well as reduced-till systems, are certainly something that can be practiced by commercial organic farmers, and many are using those practices, and those practices should be encouraged because of soil conservation and some of the other benefits that result. We are very grateful. We did get partial funding for this research from USDA OREIR, and we are very thankful for that support. So I've got time for one quick question. If anybody has a quick, easy one, if you have a tough one, I probably won't be able to hear you, but yes, go ahead. Nitrogen levels. Yeah, nitrogen levels were also starting to drop. We knew that was going to be another problem, which it was in this system. You know, if you look at, it was going to be a challenge anyway, but our hairy vetch cover crop half the time was not overwintering successfully, so we just weren't getting enough nitrogen in the system. Is it easy to answer? Okay. Okay, yeah, the comment was basically it sounds like North Dakota needs more cold hardy legumes, and my response to that would be that's correct. Yeah, it is. You know, the challenge is with these cover, something like hairy vetch, I know there's been some breeding done in the east, and we've actually tried purple bounty and some of the other varieties that have been developed, and they just don't overwinter. So, yeah, it's a big challenge, but it's hard enough to get some of the breeders in. Like for oats, you know, a minor use crop in the West, it's tough to get breeders for them, let alone try to get support for a breeder for things like cover crops. But yeah, it's really definitely needed. All right, well, thank you very much.